Right, we're going to begin this morning in James chapter 2. I want to look at two very important questions this morning, one in our class this morning and one in the message. The first question I want to deal with this morning is this: are you a friend of God? Abraham is called the friend of God. James chapter 2, verse 23. And the scripture was fulfilled, which said Abraham believed God, and he was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. And what an amazing statement. A man can be called, a son of Adam, can be called the friend of God. Not just called, but actually be the friend of God. Now, friendship is very important to us. It's just in human nature to like friendship. I have a niece, Aubrey. When she was a little thing, we'd go to a playground or to a playland at the mall or something, you know. And she'd go up to the other children that were there. She'd just go right up to them and ask them, "Do you want to be my friend?" She didn't ask, "Do you want to play together?" She said, "Do you want to be my friend?" Because that's what we all want, isn't it? Dan Morgan is my close friend. Been my close friend for nearly 30 years. Since before my girls could speak, he was Uncle Dan to me. That's how close of a friend we've been. And I value that friendship. I love to have a friend like Dan Morgan. But you know what else? I want to be a good friend. In return to him, I want to be a good friend. Because friendship is a two-way street. Well, in light of that, how can I be the friend of God? Abraham was a friend of God. Is it possible I could be the friend of God? Well, first, if we would be the friend of God, think of this. The Lord Jesus Christ is called the friend of sinners. If I'm going to be a friend of God, I've got to be a sinner. God is not friends with everybody. He's not friends with the self-righteous. He said he didn't come to do anything for the self-righteous. He didn't come to call them. He didn't come to heal them. He didn't come to save them. But he's the friend of sinners. He came to call and to save and to heal every sinner. Now, friendship's a two-way street. How can a sinner be friends with God? Christ is the friend of sinners, but how can a sinner be a friend with God? God's holy, isn't he? God hates sin. And we've got a nature that hates God, that doesn't want to be friends with God. So if I'm going to be the friend of God, I've got to be born again. God's got to give me a new nature. He's got to give me a holy nature that he can love. And he's got to give me a new nature that will love him in return. That's the nature that God gives his people, the new birth. So if I'd be a friend of God, I've got to be a sinner. And I've got to be born again. Adam made me a sinner, didn't he? Well, the Holy Spirit causes us to be born again, to be a friend of God. And there's a lot of qualities that define friendship. You ask people about things that define friendship, you get a lot of good answers. Friends enjoy being together. Friends tell each other their secrets. Friends are always there for one another. But there's one particular trait about friendship that Scripture uses that defined Abraham as the friend of God, and it's trust. Abraham believed God. He trusted God. When was it that Abraham was called a friend of God? It's when he believed God, wasn't it? God told Abraham, he came to him one day, Abraham was old, and he came in prayer before the Lord and said, "I don't have an heir." And God told him, "You and Sarah are going to have a son." Now, Abraham and Sarah are both too old to bear children. And even though there was absolutely no earthly reason to believe that Sarah would have a son, Abraham believed God when he said it. And it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Abraham was made righteous through faith in Christ. And it was at that moment Abraham was seen as the friend of God. Now, friends believe one another. They trust one another. And that friendship, that trust, that belief in each other is proven over time. Abraham was the friend of God. He believed God. He had faith in Christ. And that faith was proven over time, wasn't it? Time and time again. The Jews say Abraham had 10 great trials. His faith was proven over time. And that faith was tested concerning that son. That's when James said Abraham proved to be a true friend of God. Now look at Genesis chapter 22. If you and I are going to be the friend of God, we're going to have the same faith that Abraham had. We're going to have to believe God like Abraham believed God. So I want us to look at Genesis 22 and see the example of faith that James said made Abraham the friend of God. Now, the first is this. Friends prove themselves by sticking together in times of adversity, especially in times of trouble. That's when your friends stand out. Those are the people that come to you. You don't just quit being friends when there's trouble. Well, that's faith. Faith does not quit when it's proven by trials. Genesis 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham. And said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Now after all these other trials that Abraham endured, now he's old. He's well old, well stricken with age. And God sent him the hardest one of all. You know, by our natural reasoning, we'd think, well, man gets to be this age, and he's already endured, hasn't he? He's already endured all the heartache, all the trouble, all the trial. But it's not over, is it? This is when God sent Abraham the hardest one of all. And James told us this is when Abraham's faith was proven to be genuine faith. And if we believe God, we can expect the same thing. Trials are God's way to reveal true faith and to strengthen faith. Peter told us, don't think it's strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened to you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you're partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory should be revealed, you'll be glad also with exceeding joy. In James, we looked at this just a couple weeks ago, told us, My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into divers temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Abraham claimed to be the friend of God. He claimed to believe God, didn't he? Well, this trial is going to reveal genuine faith. And I don't want trials. Just be completely honest with you. I don't want to be tried. But I do want to know this. I want to know. Right now, today, I want to know, is my faith genuine faith or false faith? I want to know that. Well, the only way I can know that is through trials. And faith that won't quit in the face of a trial is true faith. Number two, faith is obedient. Faith obeys God. Now, our friendship, I told you, friendship's a two-way street. Our friendship with God begins with God, doesn't it? Look over at John chapter 15. John 15, verse 13. Our friendship begins with God. John 15, verse 13. Our Lord says, Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Now that's proof positive. Christ is the friend of sinners. He laid down his life for them as their substitute, as their sacrifice. He is the friend of sinners. Well, here's how we can be friends with God, by believing Christ. Verse 14, he goes on, he says, You're my friends if you do whatsoever I command you. Now, what is God's commandment? Well, it's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the law of Moses. God's commandment is that we believe on Christ for all of our salvation. He commands us that. 1 John 3:23. This is his commandment. That you should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ. And love one another as he's given us commandment. That's his commandment. And God told Abraham, take your son. It wasn't a suggestion. It wasn't an idea. It was a commandment. And Abraham obeyed. He showed the obedience of faith. Verse 3, back in Genesis 22. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son and clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. Now the Lord must have spoken to Abraham late in the afternoon or the evening because he didn't take right off. He waited till morning, and early the next morning, Abraham hit the road just like God told him to. There's no arguing. There's no questioning. There's no bargaining with God. Abraham simply obeyed. Now that's saving faith. Saving faith always obeys and believes Christ even when we don't understand. If I can understand it, it's not faith, is it? Faith just believes God. Do I understand how God could be made a man? Do I understand how the Holy Son of God could be made sin? Do I understand how the believer is righteous even though all I see about myself is sin? I don't understand any of that. But I don't have to understand how God does what he does in order to believe me. I just believe him. Just believe what he says. Just obey him. Faith, the faith that's a friend of God, obeys God. Then here's the third thing. Friends are devoted to each other because they're important to each other. Friends are important to each other. Faith is devoted to Christ. Abraham rose up early in the morning and he went to the place God told him. Abraham didn't say, "Now, Lord, wait a minute. I've waited for Isaac a long time. I've watched him grow. I love that boy. I cast Ishmael out. I can't give him up now. He's too precious to me now. I'm too old to start over this thing over." You know, he didn't do that, did he? You know why? Christ is more important than that boy. Abraham didn't say, "How am I ever going to explain this to his mother? Christ is more important than Sarah." And Abraham didn't say, "How am I going to explain this to the world around me?" Christ is more important to him than the world. Now, none of us are going to be called upon to sacrifice our children, to take our children and kill them with our own hands and burn their bodies. None of us are going to be called upon to do that. But we'd be wise to give up our children to the Lord. Just give them up to him. I can't tell you how to do that, but you'll know it. Just give them up. Nothing is more important to Christ, to the person, or nothing more is more important than Christ to the person that has saving faith. I can let go of a lot of things. I always try not to say, "Oh, I couldn't do without this," or "I couldn't do without that." I try not to say, "I don't know what I'd do without Janet," because the Lord can show me. I can do without a lot of things, but I can't do without Christ. That's saving faith. That's the faith that's the friend of God. Number four, friendship is proven over time. Good friends always become old friends. Well, that saving faith, it's proven over time. Verse 4. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. Now, 3 days is a long time to walk. 3 days is a long time to drive, isn't it? 3 days is a long time to walk. Three straight sleepless nights. Three straight long nights. Abraham had plenty of opportunity to just stop and turn around and go back home, didn't he? But he didn't do it. Because saving faith doesn't quit. And the same thing is going to hold true for you and me. There's plenty of opportunity to just stop and turn around and go back. There's plenty of opportunity. Turn around and go back to Egypt if you want to. Plenty of opportunity to do it. The Lord asked his disciples. Remember, they said they heard him preach and they saw, "This is a hard saying. Who can hear it?" And what they meant is, "I'm not going to hear this anymore. I'm not going to bow to that. I'm not going to believe that." And many went away from him. And the Lord didn't try to salvage his ministry and keep people there, did he? There are 12 left. all those multitudes, there's 12 left. And he looked at them and said, will you also go away? Nobody's holding you here against your will. The Lord has no unwilling servants. And Peter said, Lord, we're staying because you've given us saving faith. We believe and we're sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. You have the words of eternal life. Where else would we want to go? Look at Hebrews chapter 11. Where else would we want to go? Saving faith doesn't want to go anywhere else. Hebrews 11, verse 13. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they're strangers and pilgrims in the earth. For they that say such things declare plainly that they seek a country. And truly, if they'd been mindful of that country from whence they came out, they might have had opportunity to have returned. But now they desire a better country. See, they didn't return because they desire a better country. That is, in heavenly, wherefore God is not ashamed to be called their God. For he hath prepared for them a city. Saving faith is going to prove itself over time. It won't quit. Then here's the fifth thing about friendship. Friends trust each other. They're certain about one another. They're certain about their friendship. They're certain about the character of their friend. Well, saving faith is absolutely certain. Verse 5. Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I, the lad, will go yonder and worship. And we're going to come again to you. Now, God told Abraham, not just that he's going to have a son, but that the Messiah is going to come through Isaac. Abraham believed that. Now God told Abraham to take Isaac and kill him. Abraham didn't ask, Lord, how's the Messiah going to come through Isaac if I kill him? Abraham was still certain God would do what he promised he would do. Now, he didn't know how he'd do it, but he's sure God's going to do what he promised he'd do. He's sure the Savior is going to come through Abraham. Now, Hebrews 11 told us that Abraham thought God's going to keep his promise by raising Isaac from the dead. He received him from the dead in a figure. That's what he thought would happen. But you know, it could be Abraham had some idea what God was going to do. It could be. How did he know that? How could he have known what God's going to do? It wouldn't surprise me. God told him, gave him some indication. Look back at Genesis chapter 18. Friends tell their secrets to each other, don't they? Here in Genesis 18, three angels come to visit Abraham. I'm just positive one of them is a pre-incarnate appearance of Christ because Abraham worshipped him. And they sat and talked with Abraham. Look here at Genesis 18. This is before they go down to the land of Sodom to destroy it. Verse 16. And the men rose up from thence and looked toward Sodom, and Abraham went with them to bring them on the way. And the Lord, see, one of these angels is called the Lord Jehovah, said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do, seeing that Abraham surely shall become a great and mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him? Shall I hide that thing that I do from Abraham? No, I'm going to tell him, because friends tell their secrets to each other. Could be God told Abraham something about what he was going to do. But whether he did or he didn't, I don't know. That's just speculation on my part. But saving faith is always certain God's going to do what he promised he'd do. I know it. God's going to save his people. God's going to feed his sheep. He's going to strengthen his sheep. And I tell you how he's going to do it, through the preaching of the gospel. Well, we're going to get discouraged and quit. Think, well, nobody's listening, nobody's paying attention, nobody's coming. I don't see the Lord doing anything. Wait a minute. Is the Lord going to do what he promised he's going to do? He is, isn't he? Then we're going to keep preaching the gospel. By his grace, we're going to keep doing it. See, I don't know how the Lord's going to do what he promised he's going to do, but I read the last page of the book. I know how it's going to end. And we need to remember that. Next time we think, well, nobody's believing the gospel, nobody believes on Christ, the world's already gone to hell in a handbasket already. No, it hasn't. No, it hadn't. Not yet it hadn't. God's still saving his people. And he's not going to wrap this thing up until every last one of them have been saved. I know. I'm so confident. I know this. Christ is not going to lose even one for whom he died. Because saving faith is absolutely certain. Then six things. Friends know each other. You know, I could hear a wild story about one of you. And I could say, I know he didn't do that. I know she didn't do that. And they say, how do you know that? Because I know them. That's how. I know them. I know their character. I know them. Well, that's saving faith. Saving faith is knowledgeable. There is no such thing as blind faith. I know how God saves sinners. There's no such thing as blind faith because what? I know whom I have believed. I know the character of the Savior. Verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father. And he said, here am I, my son. He said, behold the fire and the wood. But where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Oh, I love that question. Where's the lamb for the burnt offering? Jonathan, in his prayer, prayed for our children in their classes this morning. It's my constant prayer that one of them is going to ask somebody, where's the lamb? Where's the lamb for me? Isaac's question showed some knowledge, didn't it? He'd been taught how God's to be worshipped. God's not to be worshipped with the best we can do. God is only worshipped. God can only be approached through a blood sacrifice. There's got to be a lamb slain. Isaac's question showed knowledge, didn't it? And Abraham's answer showed knowledge. Oh, he said, I know the answer to that. God's going to provide the lamb. There's got to be a perfect lamb. There's got to be a perfect lamb so God can accept him. So God's going to provide a lamb for himself. A lamb whose sacrifice will satisfy God. The lamb's got to be perfect. So God is going to have to provide himself as the lamb. Abraham knew that. His faith was knowledgeable faith. God's going to provide the sacrifice that will satisfy both God and men in the lamb, Christ Jesus. And years and years and years later, the Messiah came. And John the Baptist, the last of the Old Testament prophets, pointed him out. And what did he say? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. In about 3.5 years after that moment, Christ the Lord was crucified. They tell me on the very mountain where Isaac was offered is Mount Moriah, later became known as Mount Calvary. And there on that mountain, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled this picture. The sacrifice of the substitute for his people. And all of his people were saved from sin and death because our great friend laid down his life for his friends. Then seventh, friendship has a lot of rewards. I read that people who have good friends tend to be healthier, tend to live longer, tend to be happier. There's a lot of rewards with good friends. Well, that's saving faith. Saving faith always sees its reward. Verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of, and Abraham built an altar there, and laid the wood in order, bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son, and the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. And he said, lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, from me. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram, caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram, and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. The reward of Abraham's faith was to see the substitute. God showed him that ram caught in the thicket by its horns. Faith reward. Abraham believed God. Abraham was sure that Messiah is going to come through Isaac. And his faith had its reward, didn't it? He saw Isaac live because the substitute died. Saving faith will always be rewarded with the sight of the Lord Jesus Christ. The sinner substitute dying in my place so I can live. That's what our great, great friend has done for his people. Don't ever listen to anybody that portrays the Lord Jesus as this poor, pitiful creature. This picture we're reading about here, I could preach from this 10 services in a row. I love this picture. It's so packed full of the gospel. But there's something I want to point out here. This ram was caught in the thicket by its horns, by its power. Those bighorn sheep out there in the West, those horns are their power. That's what they use to just bash into each other. That's their power. The Lord Jesus Christ was constrained by his power to save. He was constrained to go to the cross. He's the only one who could save his people. He was constrained by the power of his love. The power of his love for his Father to please and satisfy his Father. The power of his love for his people. He didn't go to the cross in weakness. No, he was taken there in power. In his power to save. Our all-powerful friend didn't have his life taken from him. He laid it down for his people. And then here's the last thing. Friends rejoice in each other. Well, saving faith always rejoices in Christ. Verse 14, this is the day our Lord spoke of. Abraham saw my day and was glad. It was this day. He saw Christ in the picture of this day. And Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh. The Lord will provide. As it said, to this day in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. A faith rejoices in Christ. Not in the ceremonies of religion, not in our own good deeds. Faith always and only rejoices in Christ. Faith rejoices in Christ. He doesn't just provide everything that I need. He is everything that I need. Now, we might think, okay, I mean, Abraham is Abraham. He's on a different plane than me. I can see how Abraham's a friend of God. But not me. I can't be like Abraham. I want you to look one last scripture, Isaiah chapter 41. We're the friend of God if we have the faith of Abraham, if we have the same nature that God gave Abraham. Isaiah 41 verse 8. But thou, Israel, art my servant, Jacob whom I have chosen, the seed of Abraham, my friend. See, God is the friend of everybody that he chose to save. God is the friend of everybody that he calls out of idolatry to faith in Christ, just like he did Abraham. And he didn't just do that for Abraham, did he? No, he's talking here about the spiritual seed of Abraham. It's all the people who have the same faith as our father, Abraham. If you have this faith, Almighty God is your friend. And you're his friend. Now, like I said when I opened this, I don't just want to have friends. I want to be a good friend. It's my prayer that we be faithful to such a friend as the friend of sinners, who sticketh closer than a brother. He's proven himself to be a good friend to me. He's proven himself to be a good friend to everybody that believes him. Oh, may God make us faithful. And prove ourselves to be his friend. All right. Lord bless you.